Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey,
Satan's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Bengal week means, even though there's a possibility of a win, there's also a possibility of complete destruction to your entire team. Hello, friends. Once again, it is time for the Steeler Hangover. And if there's a hangover, it's just because of great joy in Steeler Nation, with the Pittsburgh Steelers winning a thriller in the Cincy Jungle, 28-21 in the Queen City. And the Kings are hailing from Pittsburgh at this certain time, even though they are only a half game back of the Bengals. Is it a turn upwards, or has the defense turned so bad that it's going to be tough going through? Well, that's one of the things we're going to discuss, but we're going to discuss the great joy of that victory. And discussing that with me once again is my good friend Tony DeFeo from Behind the Steel Curtain. Tony, what do you think, my man? Feeling groovy?
Oh, yeah. How you doing, Brian? Good to be with you, as always. I'm feeling great. Probably one of my favorite regular season wins. Go ahead.
Well, one of the craziest games and the most satisfying, because it's Cincinnati. Because I don't know about you, and this is something we could discuss, but for me, and I live in Maryland, so I'm a guy that lives in Maryland. I just abhor the Ravens. But since the Bengals have gone to Thug City in the last 10 years or so, or maybe the last 15 because of the Marvin Lewis era, I don't know what. All I know is that I can honestly say that I despise the Cincinnati Bengals more than I do the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if you feel that way. So for me, Tony, this is so satisfying. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think my hatred for the Ravens is a little bit deeper, because they just give the Steelers such a hard time, and I don't like John Harbaugh. But the Bengals are definitely a team I respect less than the Ravens, that's for sure. And they do a lot of talking. They do a lot of dirty players, but they just don't get the job done on the field, especially against the Steelers. And at this point, I'm thinking Pittsburgh should be paying the Bengals rent, because, or at least half of a mortgage, because they might as well move to Paul Brown Stadium. The magic that they have against that team there is just, I've never seen anything like it. How they continue to win games in such a magical fashion at another team's stadium, Brian. So I'm feeling pretty good now.
Maybe because of that, we should call Ben Roethlisberger the landlord of PBS. What do you think?
Ah, man, I wish I would have thought of that. But I'll give the kudos to you. Good job. I like it.
I tell you what, you go ahead and write it. That's yours. You can give me credit if you want. But let's just say that's property of Steelers Hangover, so we can both use it. Like I said, last week, sometimes we share the same brain. So there you go. The landlord of Paul Brown Stadium. I love it. And I love what they're doing. You said that the Bengals are doing a lot of talking. Speaking of a lot of talking, Steelers Hangover is brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain. Check us out on our YouTube channel. So many ways to go ahead and check out not only this podcast, but our flagship, The Standard of the Standard, on Wednesday evenings with Jeff Hartman and Lance. And also they have the post-game show on usually right after the game. And something that Jeff and I do together, we do a preview coming up usually on Thursday night. So many things to check out on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, and not only just the articles, all the great articles, everything you want, from whether it's a commentary, whether it's just quick news, just like hot off the press news, you're going to see it right there. And plus, I have to mention some of the most clever articles you've ever read, done by none other than my buddy, Tony DeFeo. So good stuff. Make sure you check it out there. Lots of stuff to cover, Tony. So right away, I want to know your feeling with just a little over 10 seconds left in the game and what was going on where you were watching the game.
I was watching it over at my friend's house, and I think we were all thinking the same thing, that it was going to come down to a Chris Boswell field goal. And, you know, the way he's been going this year, that seemed a 50-50 proposition at best. So I didn't know how to feel about that, but I was excited that they would have the opportunity to kick a field goal after the Bengals came right down and scored with 1:18 remaining. But, you know, to see Antonio Brown come through again and in the clutch like he has so many times in the past, it was just another exhilarating moment. But at the same time, I wasn't surprised because they've done this to them so many times. I was almost expecting it, too.
Well, Joe Mixon, when he scored, what was that, like 1:30 left or 1:38? It was something like that. When he scored, I was fine with it. It almost reminded me of that Super Bowl way back in 20 years ago when the Broncos let the Packers score to give enough time to go head down the field and score again, because they were that confident that they did. So with the fact only need a field goal, I was feeling a little bit better. I was actually feeling a lot better about Boswell in that game, because even the kicks in past weeks that he made, the extra points that he would make, were not right down the middle. They were iffy at best. But yesterday it seemed like he was just nailing stuff. So I felt pretty good about him. I wanted to get a little bit further, and when that holding penalty on Kirkpatrick came, I felt new life. I'm like, all right, if you can't go ahead and rebound from that and take advantage of that, then you don't deserve to win this game. But I felt pretty good with the game in Ben Roethlisberger's hands, and when he hit Antonio Brown, Tony, I got to tell you, I went so crazy. My dogs, I have four little dachshunds, and they're idiots, but I love them to death. They went crazy. They started barking at me because I'm dancing. I'm screaming. I'm, you know, as soon as he catches the ball, I'm doing the go, 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 go chant. And then when he scored, I just went nuts. Then I have a 9-year-old daughter, and she just stared at me with the biggest eyes ever, looking terrified, looked at my wife, and said, "Mommy, Teddy's weird." And that's exactly what she said. She's not.
Well, she'll find out someday
never...
what it's like.
Yeah. You know, we were expecting her when Santonio Holmes got that ball in the end zone during Super Bowl 43. So she should know. She was around it. She just was in utero at that point. But I tell you what, I still felt pretty good about it. I would much rather – now, I would have not felt good if the shoe was on the other foot and it was the Bengals driving down with Pittsburgh having the lead, because not only do I have trust in – I don't have trust in the Pittsburgh defense, but I'm starting to feel a little bit better about the Steelers defense when I watch – a Sunday night football game like New England and Kansas City, because defense is completely out of the league. Would you agree with me on that? That there, with these calls, these guys are so gun shy, and it happened in that game last night against Kansas City with with New England where a guy held up and did not nail Brady because he thought he threw the ball, and Brady didn't for a 4-yard run because he was afraid he was going to get called. I mean, we have – the defense can't – they're afraid to do anything. So with that and the fact that the Steelers' defense is still suspect at best, you know, you have that feeling that you just – there's none left in the league. Defense is dead in the National Football League. What do you think?
Well, it's on its deathbed, that's for sure. You know, anytime you can hold a team to, isn't it funny now that if you hold a team to 21 points, it seems like a good defensive effort. You know, it's just so amazing. And we didn't, as crazy as this rivalry has been between these two teams, it's funny that we didn't see more crazy hits and questionable calls yesterday. It was a pretty good hard hitting game, especially by the Steelers. I thought they outplayed the Bengals pretty much the whole game, but they definitely were the better defensive team. So their defense is suspect, but they were also victimized by a lot of short fields thanks to the special teams, especially at the end of the first half. I think that was a ridiculous, I don't know if it was a weather-related decision or just a strategic decision to kick the ball short to Erickson after they went up 14-7. But, yeah, the defense wasn't its best game, but it wasn't – I don't think it was that bad either. I think it was a fairly decent performance against a really good offense, Brian.
Okay, so let's stay in that realm. This is usually when we go ahead and give grades. So you just talked about the defense. I will have to say is my defense valedictorian is probably yours. It's got to be Joe Hayden because he kept that game together for that team. So I would go ahead and, they still held them 21 points. They looked scary at the end. They were falling apart. We've got problems on the other end of Hayden with mostly with Artie Burns and even Sensabaugh. But I'm looking at throwing them still a B minus. What do you think?
Yeah, I was gonna say about a B or a B minus. I think that's fair. You know, like you said, the shakiest that the defense looked, I think, was at the end of the game. I think that drive that was a little bit too easy for my taste, and probably for the other two touchdowns were set up by short field, so that makes you feel a little bit better. But you're right. Hayden definitely is the valedictorian again. He just means so much to that secondary. And he's such a – to hold A.J. Green to 85 yards on 7 catches, I mean, that's not – you know, it's a pretty decent game for him, but it's not a breakout, you know, game either. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you about Hayden. As far as Artie Burns, I don't know, where can you go? I mean – it's either him or Sensabaugh. You really can't do much else on that side of the ball unless you try to elevate Cam Sutton, and he had his hands full yesterday with the tight end. So, yeah, who knows what you can do about the defense at this point. I mean, as far as the other side of the other cornerback at this point, but I definitely agree that a B is an accurate grade for the defense.
Okay, great. And, you know, the offense, really, like, that's a good defense. I know a lot of people disagree, but I think Cincinnati has a tough defense. Man, they were decimated by injuries yesterday during that game. But this is what I'm going to say about them being decimated by injuries. That could have been caused by the Steelers, because the Steelers' offensive line out-physicaled that defensive line and that team in general. They just out-physicaled them. And when I'm talking about out-physicaling someone, none other than James Conner. That one run where he was just bashing people going through, it almost looked like a situation where he was being hunted by zombies and he had a little bat and he was just batting him off and just going through. I mean, that guy was just looked like a man possessed yesterday, and they were playing physical. And when you're talking about, I will go ahead and anoint Vance McDonald as the most physical Pittsburgh Steeler yards after the catch receiver that I have ever seen. I mean, we talk about Hines Ward being a great physical after the catch, just a physical receiver in general. But Vance McDonald, he just takes it up a notch. He's, if anybody's Gronk-like, it's this guy, Tony.
Yeah, I can't remember last time they had a player that who's been on such a roll as far as, you know, runs after the catch, you know, punishing people. It's just amazing what he's been doing. And I think I heard an interview with him either today or yesterday where he said he just laughs on the inside. He just enjoys it so much. And you know, he took out Perfect, and Connor took out Perfect. It was a great sight to see. And you're right. I mean, they out-physicaled them for 60 minutes. And what a performance by the offensive line. I mean, Ben, 46 dropbacks, and he was hit once, I think. I mean, if that, I didn't even see him get hit. It was just a great
clean,
performance. And yeah.
Clean uniform. Very clean uniform on a wet, muddy day. And that guy stays clean. So that's why if you saw my great article, there's so many places you can go in valedictorian of the offense and the entire team. I went the offensive line for that reason only. But we can make a case for James Conner, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, we could go so many ways with what all those guys did. That was a great offensive performance from them. So I'm going to let you go ahead and give out the grade for offensive performance, but I think we probably are on the same page here. So Tony, go ahead.
I'm going to give it an A. I mean, it wasn't a perfect performance because I think, you know, the red zone efficiency could have been better. I think had it been better, the game probably would have been a two touchdown final instead of an exhilarating finish. But overall, I mean, it was just, like you said, it's a good defense, a good front seven. The secondary is really good, really talented. And they 481 yards against that defense. That's definitely an A performance, despite the...
Having trouble hearing you there at the tail end of that. So let's go ahead and go to special teams, Tony. I'm going to say C for the special teams. Now, I thought Jordan Berry actually punted better. He had that one terrible punt, that 36-yarder. And if I'm not mistaken, it was about 64 yards. I've seen some discretion over 64, maybe 69. So I need to get an exact on that. But that was just a booming punt. But not a terrible day from Jordan Berry. And if that's what we need to measure success as, at this time, that's what we're going to have to go to. So I would say a great performance from Barry, if that's because based on what he's been doing in the past. But the kick coverage was horrendous. I agree with you. I don't know what they were thinking with going ahead and kicking Erickson like that. And again, two in a row where he just completely schooled them. They've had problems with him over the past 2-3 seasons. So he's a very dangerous kick returner, and he's going to break their hearts one of these days. Tony, you're still there.
I am here. Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you now. So what we're going to do now is, you know what state that they are celebrating in, and we're not talking about Pennsylvania. We're talking what state represents the best on the Steeler hangover?
New Jersey.
So let's go to New Jersey. You know where we're opening the show. We're going to go straight to the Dean. I'm just going to call him the Dean of the Steeler hangover right now.
Good evening.
It's none other than Vito from New Jersey.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. How are you guys? Great victory yesterday. I was thinking about you guys.
Great victory.
Offense did a tremendous job protecting Ben. I mean, really. I mean, do you guys think that Haley would have made a difference in this year versus the last few years? Because it seems like, you know, Ben went over to the sideline at one point. I think he told Fitchner what he was going to call, and I think that's when he threw the ball to Brown. I think, you know, he has a little bit more flexibility, you know, moving this offensive line around. I do like the three TE sets a lot of times, and they bring in two or three tight ends at a time. I think that's great to have that because they have some big tight ends there. And You're right. The game could have been either a 10 or 14 point lead. I mean, the counter play that Tomlin didn't challenge, I thought that was definitely a touchdown. I think he fell right on the line, and Tomlin didn't challenge it. But I think maybe he didn't challenge it because he figured we'd push it right in, and we didn't. We had to settle for three, and then on the next drive, we had to settle for three. So give that defense credit, stepping up and holding us to three on those two drives. But great team effort. And I was reading something today on the Behind the Steel Curtain where some people were saying that we should go out and get Patrick Peterson if the Cardinals are looking to give him up. That would definitely help our defense tremendously, because then, you know, a guy like Artie Burns is struggling so much. Having Peterson on the other side could definitely be the missing link we need on this defense. The other thing that annoys me a lot is this other guy we went out and got, the safety from Green Bay. He's been nothing but injured ever since we got him, and he really hasn't been able to even participate in any of these games. What a mistake by the front office going after someone like that who was not even available to help us. But all in all, I thought it was a great team performance, and defense did a great job holding them to 21 points. And if we could play in most games and hold most teams to 21, 24 points, I think we have a shot to win every week. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you completely that we have a shot every week, especially with that offense. And Ben looked crisper yesterday. Ben doesn't get credit for being the intelligent quarterback that he is. A lot of people, I mean, I don't know, I'm just guessing here, but I think a lot of people have the perception that Ben's a meathead, and he is anything but that. Ben is a very cerebral quarterback, and you just don't pin that on him as a label. But he's very smart. So, I mean, I know that his relationship, okay, he's been around Randy Feitner for 10 years now, 11 years, been his quarterback coach that long. He was handpicked. And I always joke, and Tony probably hears me say it ad nauseum, that Ben's the offensive coordinator of that team. But if they do stuff like this and they are on the same page, I have no problem with it. So I thought that was a great call on that play. It really could be another turning point. That could be a turning point game. Just like last week, the pass to Antonio Brown was a turning point. This could be the one that just keeps them in overdrive. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. As far as Morgan Burnett goes, boy, I'd love to get him on the field, because he is a very positive presence for that defense. And if you have the coach that you have in Joe Hayden on that defense on the same field as a coach in Morgan Burnett, because that's what these guys are. They're like coaches. They're very football smart on the defense. So I think they could do so much more and not expose a guy like Terrell Edmunds, who I think has a bright future, but he's kind of a little bit lost out there. So, and he's a rookie, and he's learning on the job, but that's really helping him too. But if Burnett gets healthy and you can get maybe 8 to 10 games out of him at this point, if he comes back after the bye, I think you'll see a big difference in that defense as well. As far as Patrick Peterson goes, Simon Chester wrote that article, and I love it. I mean, the Cardinals have made everybody available at this point, and I think the baseball mentality of the trade deadline is sneaking into football, because it's kind of – at this point, I would spend a second-round draft choice on a guy like Patrick Peterson, because that could be the difference of going very far in the playoffs and going to the Super Bowl, because that's one player on that side. If you have a healthy Hayden and a healthy Peterson, and with what Sean Davis is doing in the secondary, what Mike Hilton's doing in the secondary, guys like that, you know, you could go very far. That's one player that could really clean up that defense in a hurry. Tony, what do you think about that?
I think it would be tremendous. I mean, you know, like you said, a second-round pick seems a pretty fair deal for somebody of that caliber. And I think he counts like $14 million against Arizona's cap, which, I mean, is what you want. It's what you were going to pay Bell anyway, so he would fit right in. And he would be that would be the $14 million that everybody wanted them to use to spend to build, rebuild the defense. Well, now you get that. You get a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback for $14 million, to help you down the stretch. It doesn't seem very Steeler-like, but, you know, they went out and they got Joe Haden last year when he was released, and that didn't seem like something that they would normally do, and they did it. So I would love it. I mean, it would suck for Artie Burns, because I really like him, and I think he still has a chance to be something good. But right now, it's all about now. It's all about winning the Super Bowl or putting yourself in the best possible position to do so. And what your defense would go from a 6, maybe a 5, to an 8 or a 9, I think, if you got somebody like a Patrick Peterson.
Okay, well, that's a D to an A. If you're looking at it in as far as grades, I don't know if they'll get him, but somebody's going to, so why not be aggressive? I saw him listed as in the top 5. Now, here's a question: would you go ahead and would you spend a number 1 pick on the guy like Patrick Peterson?
At this point, yes, I think I would, because you're looking at they're usually drafting in the low 20s anyway, so you might as well take a gamble. He hasn't been around that long, so he's probably, 29, 30, if he's even that old. And you have him for three
right around there, yeah.
Run, yeah, 3 more years. So you have you're paying Joe Haden $9 million a year. You're going to be paying this guy $14 million, $10 million, $11 million, I think, something like that over the next 3 years per year. Yeah, why not? I mean, you're getting a first-round caliber player in his prime for the price of a first-round pick. So, yeah, I'd do it.
So, Patrick Peterson, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was drafted in 2011, and yes, he was. He was 5th overall in 2011 out of LSU. He was born in July of 1990, so that makes him 28 years old. With 3 years left, yeah, I tell you what, I would not hesitate to spend a first-round draft pick on a guy like that. Beto, would you? If it means the Super Bowl, you know, why not? Because we always talk about that window.
Burns is bad. He's not good at all right now.
And if you get a guy like that, your linebacking problems aren't as desperate. I really think that you could do so much more. That's one guy that could really shore up a defense in a New York minute. So, but, you know, as soon as I typed in Patrick Peterson's name just a second ago, I just saw why the Saints should trade for Patrick Peterson, why the Cowboys should trade for Patrick Peterson. You know, so that's just something that, I mean, it's being thrown out there that it's going to be a little sweepstakes for him, but just be aggressive. And we saw with the Tyrann Mathieu sweepstakes back in early, June or July when he became available. July when Mathieu became available. He could have been available signed for $6 million for one year. And that's more. That was in the Steelers' range. And that was the safety that they could have gone out and gotten. So with that being said, you never know what someone's price is. You never know what somebody's afraid to offer or not to offer. So, I mean, if you can go ahead and play the let's make a deal game and be the highest bidder, why not? I mean, you only have one chance. You know, you can build for the future later. If it takes a first-round pick, I'm a GM. Maybe I won't be a GM long, but I'm going for it, Vito.
Yeah. I think the window's narrow at this point. You don't think so?
And you know what? And then you try to get Le'Veon Bell back in and trade him for a 2 or a 3. And that makes it a whole lot easier. So, Vito, thank you so much. We appreciate
it.
I'm glad you had a great time watching the game. Enjoy the bye week, and we will be here next week for the bye week. I usually hate the bye week, but I don't think it will smash the momentum. I love where this team is going. So thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
See you, Vito.
Good night, guys.
And as always, just that's our guy. Vito is he is the dean of Steelers Hangover. Just a Hall of Fame caller. Always a calming influence. You know, in fact, I think Vito's importance is even more when we go ahead and watch the Steelers lose, because he always talks me off the ledge. I mean, like, if I ever get a fight with my wife, I'm just gonna, like, I have his number. I'm just gonna call him. I'm like, dude, talk me off the ledge. So let's stay in the Garden State, my man. We've got Ken on the line. Ken, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? What's up?
Hey, Ken.
Oh, dude, I love that enthusiasm. You're excited, Ken.
I'm excited, man, because, you know, we finally put together two in a row of football that we kind of expected to see this year. And, you know, I just think, like, with what we expected to see was, all right, the defense will be behind the offense. The offense will carry the team, but there's a lot of young talent. And, you know, with the young talent, with coaching, there's some potential. I think that's the stage that we're at right now versus what we were seeing in the beginning of the year. So it's just good to finally be at this place. Yes, it's later than we expected, but, you know, we're here. So, but, yeah, I with this whole thing, I mean, it was a great – it was really a very entertaining game, like just – from a football fan perspective, I just thought it was a very well played game. The it was physical without being dirty. Outside of that Vontaze Burfict elbow to Antonio Brown's head across the middle, which I'm surprised to see the league said that they won't be fining him, or he's not expected to be fined, but whatever. But I have an offensive nugget for you guys, and I have a defensive nugget. So I'll start with the defensive one. And, you know, talking about the whole Patrick Peterson thing, absolutely, if you can get Patrick Peterson for a first-round pick, I think, you know, Vito even said it, the Steelers normally pick at the end of the first round. Who are you going to get, Artie Burns, Bud Dupree? You know, like, this, we put so much potential into, like, the unknown with these picks. A lot of times these guys are borderline second-round picks anyway, when you're picking after pick 20. So I would absolutely give that up. Even for 3 years of Patrick Peterson, when you think about it, Artie Burns been with the Steelers for 3 years. We already know that they're not going to pick up his option for the most part. You know, so it's definitely worth it. That will shore up that secondary, and it will affect the linebacker play. But I just thought the defense yesterday and, you know, last week too, they played sound and they did their job. I was very – encouraged to see that. And, you know, guys got beat. I could deal with a guy getting beat versus just gaps in the secondary. So I thought that was a positive. 2 weeks in a row shows some consistency there, and hopefully they'll continue to do that once they really wrap their heads around what's going on. Maybe they could play a little faster and, you know, maybe make some of those plays. You know, Joe Hayden has to come up with that interception. You know, but I just thought from a defensive perspective, they played well. Listen, the Bengals are good. They're going to make plays. Joe Mixon's a good back. AJ Green is great. So, you know, it was a good defensive effort for the most part. What do you guys think about the defensive effort?
You know what? We gave them a B-, and I thought rushing the passer, I mean, three sacks, they rushed the passer. The guys up front, especially, we had a Stephon Tuitt awakening. Right when I was ripping on him, on my in-game article that I write, called Knee Jerk Reactions, just right when I started to crack on him for being invisible, he had two tackles in a row and one being a sack. Javon Hargrave really showed up yesterday, and even though he wasn't huge in the stat sheet, you got some good penetration from Cam. And so with Hayward doing that, they gave the defensive backs a little more time. I mean, I was fine with the linebacker. It's just, I mean, an average performance. The defensive backs, I'm a Sean Davis guy. I like Sean Davis. Love Joe Hayden. That's that other side with Artie, and you brought up, and we've talked about it, with the possibility of bringing in a guy, entertaining bringing in a guy like Patrick Peterson, which I think needs to be done. But at this point, I have a buddy that was talking to me today. He's like, he doesn't want to see Burns on the field again. I just don't know who you put it. I mean, you just want to go with Cody Sensabaugh for 60 minutes? No, I mean, they just need help on that side. Artie, I love him. I mean, as far as a human being, he's a very good person. I read a lot of articles about him, especially when he was drafted. I think he's a high-character guy. I just don't think that he's getting it done. And I don't think that if it was a redraft right now, Ken, I think he's lucky to go in the sixth round. And you could say that about a lot of players, but, you know, just has really struggled over there, and I don't see it really changing, and they're just getting, like you see, they are getting gassed. They're just getting destroyed on that side of the ball. And if a guy like Hayden goes down, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm also a Mike Hilton guy. I think Hilton, his presence does a lot for that defensive backfield. So if you go ahead and bring in a guy like Peterson, or maybe even someone else that you really want to even – a marginal player, maybe a B player, but
sure.
A starter, somebody
yep.
that could come in on that side to help shore it up a little bit, you're going to do so much better. Artie is the only guy that I put on the detention list. I put one other guy, and it was Cameron Kennedy, just because of some
yeah.
of the gaps that he had.
We,
that's
we
pretty good when you only have two
name.
Guys to put on the list.
We should not hear his
yeah.
name during the game.
But when
right.
you only have two guys to put on that list, it's a good day.
Right. But let me ask you this. Do we know for a fact that Brian Allen cannot do better than Artie Burns? Like, do we know that?
We don't. I mean, he looked like he made the honor roll last week because of special teams play. We don't know. But here's a guy that was on the practice squad until 2 weeks ago. So I think that's a decision that needs to be made in camp, and they're probably not going to go ahead and do it right now. I think you bring somebody completely in from another team before you do that with Brian Allen, but I think he's a future player on that side. I think he could be a starter on that side. I'd be surprised if they did it now, but that's a great question, though. Tony, what do you think about Brian Allen?
I mean, he's definitely an unknown. We've never really seen much of him as far other than on special teams. So it's hard to really say what kind of player he would be. But I mean, how much worse can he be right now than what's going on with between Burns and Sensabaugh? I mean, you know, it's been 3 years, and the second touchdown at the end of the first half when he's guarding Tyler Boyd, he bit on the post pattern when. You know, I don't know what kind of coverage they were playing there, but I mean, his instinct should have been to play the outside, to play the out, because there was nobody there. So I mean, you would think that if a boy was going for the post, he would have help on the inside. So he should have leveraged to the outside, and his instincts just don't seem to be there for a third year pro.
Ken, let me ask you a question. Did you watch the game last night between? New England and Kansas City.
I didn't see the whole thing because I worked, and then I watched the Steelers. I recorded the Steelers game, but I caught like the half of the fourth quarter.
That fourth quarter was insane. There was no defense whatsoever. And there was one play, and we talked about it at the beginning of the podcast, where a Kansas City defender just was getting ready to nail Brady, thought he had passed the ball, and Brady still had the ball in his hands and waltzed right in for a 4-yard touchdown, which my question to you right. is, I know you didn't see that, but based on what we've been seeing with defensive performances over the last 6 weeks, and even let's go back a couple weeks with Los Angeles and Minnesota, which are supposed to be great defenses, and putting up close to 40 points on each other, is defense close to dead in the NFL now because of all the regulations and the rules and the penalties?
Yeah, you know, I heard you guys ask that earlier. My answer to that is no. Defense is not dead. What is dead is intimidating defense. So the defense where you walk in and you fear going over the middle, you fear a certain player, or things like that, that's dead. Defense, intimidating defense has been neutralized to where it takes away the guys who are super athletic or super intelligent and can play faster and just be there quicker to hit you harder. I think that gets neutralized by a lot of these calls. But defense, if you still bring the defense like the Baltimore Ravens, who are pretty much tops in every category, that still is going to make a difference because it's going to upset the rhythm of a well-oiled, machined offense. No defense isn't dead. It's the beginning of all of this stuff. Defenses will catch up to it eventually, just like they do to everything else, because guys continue to evolve. So that's my opinion on it. But just the steel curtains of the 2000 Ravens, like all of that, that's done. And people, we just got to get used to it.
Well, that's a hard thing to swallow for somebody who's been watching intimidating defenses for nearly 40 years at this point, since I started when I was about 7 years old. So my other question to you is, have the Steelers, and this is for you, Tony, so I'm going to ask both of you fellas this, have the Steelers turned the corner, or is the defense too much of a turnoff that they're not going to be able to, go far in the playoffs?
Want me to answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think overall they found their identity, like we talked about last week, on offense for sure, and on defense it's all about being aggressive and being sound. And like Ken said, you're not going to be able to be intimidating anymore on defense. It doesn't mean you can't be sound with your technique and sound with your tackling, and I think they're inching closer to that, and I think we've seen that the last 2 weeks. Like we mentioned already with the touchdowns that Pittsburgh gave up yesterday, two of them came on a short field. So, you have to sort of also teams for that, at least give them partial blame for it. So I think if they can find a way, I don't know how they're going to do it, if they can find a way to figure out the other corner spot, maybe over these next 2 weeks, then I think we could have more hope as far as the defense is concerned. And like you mentioned, you're going to get Morgan Burnett back, at least presumably, over the last 2 months. So that should help the defense as a whole, because he is a great pro. So I think we are turning the corner as far as a team. I don't think that the defense is going to be as big a liability as it was down the stretch last year after Shazier was injured.
And, speaking of Shazier real quick, what an emotional, what a tear-jerking, fantastic moment to watch that man walk out on the field at Paul Brown Stadium and do the We Ride chant with the defense in the defensive huddle before the game. I mean, just a beautiful moment. It is fantastic. So I'm glad you brought up Ryan Shazier. That goes one of my highlights of this season for me. That was just very special. But, Ken, so do you think the Steelers have turned the corner?
I do think so. I think for the defense, and it's all about the defense, really. And for them, what they had to do was buy in. Like, this team just needed to buy in. Everybody, the offense too. The defense is buying in. Maybe it was what Cam said. Just do your 111. If you don't get the F off the field, whatever he said, So they needed to buy in. The offense is buying in. Ben is buying in. Not forcing a ball down Antonio Brown's throat. And Antonio Brown, granted, for the last couple of weeks, yes, they've won. But also he's staying with the game plan, and he's going to get his. So if he knows, all right, when it's crunch time, I'm going to get mine. Let me just play my game and everything like that. And the game comes to him. So, no, he's not going to have 12 for 112 and two touchdowns, but he'll have 6 for 105 and one touchdown. And that's team ball, So everyone's buying in. And the more weapons that we have, the harder we are to beat. Like, Vance McDonald, man, is looking like, what we wish we had from Ladarius Green. And kind of, he's a mix of, we've never really seen somebody in a Steeler uniform like him before, because Heath was even a little bit different. So I just think, yes, we're getting buy-in now. And that's more important than just putting up 40 points here, and you know, because anybody could be explosive, but the buy-in from the offense and the defense and the special teams, that to me the wheel is turning in that direction. So and I just want to give you one offensive thing. So we're 6 weeks in. So if we're looking at the difference between Todd Haley and Randy Feitner, the biggest thing for me is red zone efficiency. So right now the Steelers are number three in red zone efficiency in the league. Under Todd Haley, in 2017, they were number 18. 2016, they were number 16. I look back all the way to 2012. The highest that they finished was like 13th or 12th in the league. So they averaged like the 15th or 16th in the league in the Todd Haley era. So right now, Randy Feitner's stamp is red zone efficiency. They're number three in the league. Just for people who wonder, oh, the offense this and the offense that. But when they get down in the red zone, they know how to score. So, and I think it's only getting better, you know, as evidence of the last couple of weeks. So just stay with us. Stay with the Steelers. For all the fans out there, let's just keep it going and trust in the team. Don't listen to the big heads talking on TV because they don't watch them as much as we do. That's my message to them. And then also, just Bryce from Brooklyn, man, you got to call back in, man. We miss you on the show. So that's one.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah, we definitely need some Bryce. I would love to hear from him too. Thank you so much, Ken. I mean, great insight. We love hearing from the Jersey boys. And hey, if I can just get Frankie Valli to call in, that would just complete it. Maybe we get that going. So I'm definitely showing my age. But I don't know if you heard last week. Tony and I are talking. We need to just do a Jersey tailgate. Maybe the next time they play the Jets or Giants, maybe just come down, hit up you, hit up Beto, and just party like it's 1999 before that game.
Hey, man, either that or I'll drive to Pittsburgh. It's only 6 hours away, so.
There you go. We got to make that
happen.
That'd
be awesome.
Maybe we do a Steeler hangover tailgate one of these days and to see who we could get come in. That'd be a lot of fun. We'll have to I'll bend Jeff here on that, see if we could somehow make that happen. So sounds great. Ken, have a great bye week. We will be here during the bye week. So probably next Monday night as well. So have a great week. So we're cheering like crazy next week for the New Orleans Saints, who take on the Baltimore Ravens. And the Sunday night game is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be Cincinnati traveling to Kansas City. You want to see a lot of offensive fireworks with those two teams. It's going to be a lot of fun. So go, can't believe I'm saying this, go Chiefs, go Saints. And have a great week. We'll see you, Ken. Take it easy, buddy.
All right, guys. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too, buddy. So final thoughts, Tony DeFeo. I mean, you've said they've turned the corner. Looking ahead, you have two games now, two divisional games coming up between the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns at home. And then a big one at M&T in Baltimore, which I might even try to sneak my way in on that one, since I'm a little bit over an hour away from that hellhole stadium. So what I'm thinking is, you get through those two games, then it's game on. It's you're talking about a bye at that week. You're now looking at a bye. So I think this team has turned the corner. I did not want to say it. I think if you remember last week, I was afraid to go ahead and say that I think that they're there. But I think I agree with Ken. I think this team has bought in. I've bought in. They're a very cohesive team, and they might even be more cohesive because Le'Veon Bell is not there. We'll see how that plays out. I don't even know how that's going to play out, because you just can't believe anything you hear at this point. And it defies all logic. But with that being said, Tony, enjoy the bye week.
You too, my man. I guess we'll be talking again next week around this time.
Yeah, so we'll be talking. I guess we'll be talking it'll be Saints-Chiefs hangover next week.
That's right.
Let's throw in Saints Chiefs Buccaneers hangover, because the Cleveland Browns still exist, and there's still a little bit of a danger. So we'll be rooting for those teams next week and then some, and we'll have a lot to talk about, because there's one thing. The Steelers might be on a bye, but there's plenty of action that's going to be happening with so many storylines with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think the media and the bloggers are going to have a big break at all, because there's still going to be lots of stuff going on. So lots of things to look forward to. As always, keep it at Behind the Steel Curtain first. That's where all your Steeler news is going to be. All your Steelers fun. Your podcast. Remember, we have the family of podcasts now. And check them all out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's a good thing to do. You can listen to all of them if you want to hear great insight all the way across the board. Jeff and Lance are fantastic to listen to, as well as Tony and that Brian Anthony guy. He's okay. So at this point, enjoy the week, my friends. As always, go Steelers. Don't stop Shalevin. And my friends, the Pittsburgh Steelers just beat their rival, the Cincinnati Bengals, 28-21 in a thriller, and you have just been hungover. Good night.